Well, all right. Hey, listen, we got plenty of stuff to talk about with regards to election integrity. I'm going to jump on into it, but I'll start by, so you know, I had this topic yesterday, right? I had it sitting on the table to go with yesterday. Stack of resources. Well, this is like one of the largest stacks of resources that I've had for one topic, and I can't remember when, because the topic kept growing. So I got a stack of stuff here related to election issues and election integrity issues that spans multiple states all over the place, some of which has national impact, some of which were just one-off things that happened. But I do have to make note that there is, in fact, breaking news just earlier this morning. The Supreme Court of the United States intervened in the Virginia case. If you haven't already heard it, you may recall that the Biden Department of Justice, under Merrick Garland, decided to try to enjoin any ability of the state of Virginia to take illegal citizens off its rolls. I mean, this is really nuts if you get down to it. These are people who clearly identified themselves as not being citizens, but filled out a registration anyway. And the Biden Department of Justice says, you can't take them off those rolls. You might disenfranchise someone who became a citizen later. Never mind the fact that state law says if you show up and there's a question at the polls, you're allowed to vote provisional and they'll count it if it comes to be that you were really a citizen. So what was the fight about? Well, people believe is that the Democrats just don't want to see the voter rolls cleaned up. And they don't have a good excuse. It's like the whole thing with having photo ID. Well, you can't do that. Why? Well, because things, you know, they don't have a good excuse. They've tried to make arguments. Well, the Supreme Court of the United States stepped in today on emergency petition from the state of Virginia and said, no, Virginia, you go right ahead and clean up your rolls. It's a big win. It's a big, big win. But you may also recall that there are two states that have been sued by the DOJ for trying to get illegals off their rolls. Virginia being the one I just mentioned, Alabama being the other. So the question we have right now, though, is does the Virginia ruling this morning apply to Alabama's situation? And here's the nuance. The nuance is not whether we can. The nuance is whether we can at the time we did. Because apparently the voters I'm talking with, voter registrations I'm talking about, were identified immediately after the deadline to remove the rolls. So the Secretary of State began the purge, but he began about 24 to 48 hours later than what state law says he should have. So we got a little bit of an impasse. I recognize we need to stay within the confines of the law. However, the question also becomes whether or not this meets the standards of what is necessary to be protected by the deadline. In other words, if someone never should have signed up in the first place, is that still protected for the ability of the purge? Does that make sense? So all I'm saying is we are still looking. In fact, 1819 News has came out with a story just in the last, I don't know, little bit here. See, they posted it, well, just in the last hour or two, saying the Alabama leaders are applauding the U.S. Supreme Court's decision allowing Virginia to remove illegal voters. But state leadership here in Alabama is currently mum on whether or not it will apply to Alabama. So we've got our own purge case going. Secretary of State Wes Allen's done an amazing job of becoming a national figure in the need to clear up voter rolls. But a U.S. district judge, who, by the way, is not a liberal judge, it was somebody who was appointed by Trump, who's still a U.S. district judge, Judge Manasco, blocked our, you know, voter purge, 3,251 illegals. Or I take it back, 3,251 non-citizens. How about that? Let me put it that way. 3,251 non-citizens are currently identified within the voter rolls of Alabama. And yet the Biden-Harris Department of Justice does not want them taken off the rolls. But the only thing they have to stand on is whether they can take them off the rolls when they did. We'll find out soon whether or not that Supreme Court decision from just this morning is going to assist us with our situation. In the meantime, I got a quick phone call. Wolverine Dan's on the line. Hey, man, how you doing?
Very well. I've got a question. Maybe you can answer it.
All right.
You know, on American Idol, that evening where they have the contestants, they can get all the votes in, and have a winner at the end of the night, and we can't have a winner of a presidency for either days or months. So this is what concerns me. What concerns me, if the liberals don't get what they want, they're going to have their lawyers set up, which they already are, do whatever they have to do to drag it out, and then find some votes somewhere or manufacture them. Do you see the parallel with that, where an American Idol can vote for an idol that night, but we can't vote for a president? Isn't that sad? Can you help me out with that?
Yeah, well, so I can. I can even go one step further. First of all, we never had trouble getting our votes tallied and knowing who your president was for about the first, 240-something years of this country. And then on top of that, the state of Alabama, Florida's a lot bigger than Alabama, but Florida and Alabama and a bunch of other states, we're going to have our stuff in that night, and there's not going to be a question. In fact, I guarantee you, by 10 o'clock on election night, Florida, Alabama, and at least over half the states will already have their results in, ready to be certified. And
what is the answer then? Like Arizona and places like that, what is the answer? I really need to know.
Well, part of the answer is their state law is jacked up. I mean, it's ate up like a soup sandwich. They're doing things like, for instance, in Pennsylvania, they've opened this whole thing up with early voting. Okay, early voting, I get it. Some states like Georgia do early voting. But in Pennsylvania, they said the early voting cannot be tallied or even opened until after all the other votes are cast on election day. Meaning, what good was the early voting? Because you're not getting, all you're doing is getting your vote in, but we can't know the results.
So in my closing, and I'll hang up.
Yeah.
So this is a sad situation, Phil. I feel very uneasy about it. And I feel if this happens like that and we get taken to the cleaners again, and it's not a fair fight, where do I go from there, Phil?
Well, first of all, I think it's going to be a lot better this time. I really do. But the second thing I would say is where you go is right back to work the next day, and you start working towards the next four-year cycle. But I really believe it's going to work out all right. But it's going to be frustrating. And I tell you what, if the entire nation is resting on what happens in Pennsylvania, then it's going to be a few days, because Pennsylvania does not have their act together. Hey, Wolverine Dan, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you.
All right, man.
See ya. I mean, he's got a point. It's so frustrating to know that there are states like Alabama and much bigger states in terms of populace like Florida. And Florida, by the way, votes in two different time zones. So they've got people that are still allowed to vote in the panhandle on central time when people in the eastern time zone have already finished and had the polls closed, and they still get it all in one night. And you got to look at it and go, what the heck? I mean, how can y'all be this jacked up, Pennsylvania, California? I will say that I think some states are going to wind up doing a much better job this time than last time, because it was embarrassing and they chose to make some changes and streamline their operations. But wow, my hope is that we are not going to wind up seeing something like, you know, the Bush-Gore election of 2000.
So I have a question. Yeah. In the meantime of, you know, you mentioned the Supreme Court ruling in the Virginia case, if the Alabama case, you know, for some reason doesn't get settled before the election, which it should, right, considering it's concerning this upcoming election. But in the meantime, will those illegal voters that were supposed to be taken off the voter rolls, will they be allowed to vote until that case is, you know, ruled upon? Like, for example, if it's not ruled upon, if Alabama can take their voters off the voter roll, say someone who should not be on the voter roll goes and early votes before that ruling is settled, will that vote still count?
So a couple things there. Number one, 3,251 have been identified. Some of those are not going to actually vote. I mean, you're going to wind up finding out that some of those filled out a voter registration, not realizing what they were filling out because they got it with a Medicaid form and they just sent it in and didn't know. And then others are going to realize I shouldn't have filled that out, and they're not going to show up. And then you're going to have people that do show up and they're going to say, I should be on the list. And they're going to be given a provisional ballot, and they have to prove their identity to be allowed to have the ballot counted later. And the way they do that is they do all the election processes, and then I want to say it's within 72 hours, each precinct has to take all provisional ballots and open them and count them if it can be shown that there's enough provisional ballots still pending that would have swayed the election. So if you have a if Trump wins by 70% in Alabama, which he'll probably be like 64% or something like that in Alabama, if Trump wins by a massive landslide and there's only about 4% potential provisional ballots sitting there to unopened, then I won't say they didn't count, but they won't have to be counted because they would not have swayed the election.
It's just, it sets a precedent if, like, they're in a swing state and they try to clean up their voter rolls and then, oh, well, I'm just going to sue you and kind of filibuster so those votes can still count while we're still trying to rule upon it, you know. So obviously in Alabama, like you said, it probably won't matter, but it's just a dangerous precedent if they can just sue whoever.
But in Pennsylvania, it's been decided by a mere few thousand votes.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these states got so close, it's almost nauseating how close they got. I mean, it's like pins and needles. And by the way, I've told the story. I don't know if I told the story since you've been here, but I mean, I'm a firm believer that you are allowed to challenge an election. That's the law. The statutes in Alabama literally spell out, here's how you challenge an election. You have to do it within this time frame. You have to file this kind of paperwork. You have to actually post a bond so you're not wasting everybody's time. And you do all the things necessary, and you actually file it in the circuit court in the county where the votes were supposed to have been. And that's legit. And I had a friend, she became a client, and she lost a city council race by one vote. One vote. And we identified 9 provisional ballots that we believe should have been counted. We took it to court. And I was right. We proved that 9 should have been counted, except that when we opened them, it was still 5-4 against her, and she lost by one vote even after the lawsuit. Jeez. So I pointed out to the judge, it's a heck of a thing. We won the case and lost the race. But you never know. So, you know, we pursued what was right for those votes, no matter where the chips fell. And that's what everybody's allowed to do. All right, take me to a break, brother. I rambled, but that's all good stuff. Thank you, Wolverine Dan, and thank you, JP. All right, more on this, election integrity. We got stuff happening in Virginia. We got stuff happening in Pennsylvania. We got stuff happening in Alabama. I'll tell you about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense a superpower. So election integrity, that's what we're talking about right now. And crazy stuff's happening, by the way. And everybody's got their guard up, and rightfully so. Have your head on a swivel. And I'm going to tell you right now, poll watchers, if you're a poll watcher, God bless you. But if you're at the polls and you see craziness, say something about it. In fact, if you see some craziness, tell the poll watcher. But things are happening right now, and people, I mean, after 2020, listen, I don't give a rat's hind end what people on CNN and MSNBC and all the liberal pundits have to say. 2020 was a jacked up election. It just was. It just was. You cannot say otherwise. We were stuck in the middle of COVID. We had the Summer of Love BLM riots. We had all kinds of things happening. We had, you know, absolute knowledge that the Hunter Biden laptop was real and yet it was being suppressed. We had Twitter, under its old ownership, actually taking the President of the United States off so no one could see what he was saying. It was just asinine. And then there was also the state level stuff. And Pennsylvania was one of the worst. Pennsylvania was literally one of the worst. It just the Secretary of State, who in violation of the state constitution, was making changes on his own, and just, well, here's how we're going to do things. We're going to do it this way, and we're going to start doing, you know, like mail and ballot harvesting's okay, and everybody's great with that. And I just on and on and on between ballot harvesting and people stuffing ballot boxes, and then poll watchers not being allowed to stay in the room when they were counting the ballots, but yet we could see through the window that somebody pulled a box of ballots up from under a table. I mean, just on and on and on. And so, yes. No one will ever convince me or make me say otherwise. 2020 was a jacked up election. Now, that being said, we are all watching and watching carefully, and we should. And I don't say that because I believe everything is going to go wrong. I'm saying that because learning from experience means you don't lay down on it. You got to keep your head on a swivel and watch. Crazy stuff's happening, like just today. ABC affiliate out of Pennsylvania actually was airing a sports event. It was a Grand Prix, an Indy Grand Prix type race, a Formula One race. And lo and behold, suddenly up on the screen comes the nationwide election results showing Harris winning Pennsylvania 52-47. I mean, like, called for her. And everybody's like, whoa. We're 6 days out from the election. Who put that up? Why is that up there? I will say this. It caused a furor. It went viral on social media. ABC immediately came out and said, this is literally a nothing burger. We were sending out data for stations at the local level to test their systems to make sure they can put banners up on election night. This is nothing. And we had it randomly selected data. We didn't plug the data in and make it look the way it looked. Okay, but you understand why we're questioning, right? Because 2020 was jacked up, and we ain't playing that game anymore. Now, there's a lot of one-off stuff, too. And listen, if you're wondering about whether election integrity matters, law enforcement actually does care. Story off Yellowhammer News right here in Alabama. A Mobile woman has been accused of forging the signature of an incapacitated nursing home resident. So this woman, Michelle Toomey, has been arrested. She worked at a nursing home. She actually applied for an absentee ballot on behalf of an incapacitated person, filled it out for them, held their hand with a pen. Why'd you even hold their hand? If you're going to do all the rest of it, why'd you pretend like they were the one signing it? And had them fake a signature on the signature line. And she's now on $22,000 bond and is facing charges related to election laws and forgery. One-off. But you know what? The system caught her. Good for them. But we're also looking at other one-offs. We got some craziness happening right now in other states around the nation. And it's causing some concern, especially in Pennsylvania again. But we're watching things like, how about this? Daily Caller has a story. 2 days ago, machines in Nevada County, California encountered a printing error. A printing error. Only 77,000 ballots potentially compromised. What? Yes. So now they're having to redo 77,000 mail-in ballots and verify that nobody else got their ballots messed up. It has imperfections in the barcodes, the things the computer used to count. Come on, y'all. Let's get it right. You know why? Because we're all watching. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on a hump day. Oh man, we got stuff. I mean, we're talking about election integrity, but it's really more than that. You have to look at it and go, wow, it's just like election common sense sometimes. And by the way, there's early reports out that this early voting that, you know, we watched in 2020 as Democrats sometimes did things that were just jacked up, sometimes did things that I believe were unethical, sometimes did things I believe were absolutely illegal. But that being said, I also really believe that they also gamed the system better than Republicans did. They took advantage. If the law of the state says you can do early voting, well, then, I mean, it's just the law of the state. I may not like it, but there it is. If the law of the state says you can do mail-in balloting, well, then that's just the law of the state. I mean, the Constitution says the state legislature shall make the individual laws for the respective states as to how to do the election within certain parameters. The only thing the federal says is you have to vote by a certain date, and you have to be over a certain age, and that no one can be denied the right if they're a citizen. So, that being said, Democrats, I will give them some props. They work within the framework they were allowed to work in. I mean, they took liberties. We know they did. But they also work within the framework better than Republicans. Republicans now are showing up. Elon Musk just tweeted out just a little while ago. He said the early votes in Pennsylvania now show Republicans doing 435,000 better than Democrats versus this same date in 2020. And he says Biden's margin of victory in 2020 was only 80,000 in Pennsylvania. So that's significant. If that holds, it's saying that Republicans are like, we got your number, man. We're banking our vote early. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're in Georgia or Tennessee, go do it. I was talking to Alicia here at the Right Side Studio. She's our office manager. Her son voted in Tennessee, already banked his vote. Had to wait in line for an hour to vote 6 days ahead of the election, but he did. But there's other things that are happening. Like, for instance, decision just came out of Michigan. Actually, it's the Supreme Court of the United States regarding Michigan and Wisconsin ballots. So RFK Jr., he bowed out of the race. He endorsed Trump. He wants his name off the ballots. Why? Because he knows it could be a distraction to a Trump vote in a close state. It would not matter if RFK was still on the ballot in Alabama. His name being on the ballot here is not going to change the election. We're a decidedly red state. Trump will win. There's no doubt about it in Alabama. Don't take it for granted. Go vote anyway. Bank your vote. Because there's a lot of down ballot races you got to take care of too. But in terms of presidential, RFK is not going to affect things in Alabama. But in Wisconsin, in Michigan, it's concerned. Well, I mean, right now, you've got four of the last six presidential elections have been decided by between 5,700 and 23,000 votes. Y'all, that's half a county. That's like in a whole state. That's incredible. Well, Wisconsin and Michigan, the Supreme Court ruled that RFK cannot have his name taken off the ballot. So there's that. Now we have to deal with the fact that RFK Jr.'s name is a potential distraction to those lesser informed or to those who think they're protesting their vote or some other lame thing when they go to the polls. Okay, what else have we got? We've got some one-off situations. How about this one? A U.S. postal worker. I mean, you look at this and go, wasn't there an episode of, oh, I'm going to lose points. I got to say it. An episode of Seinfeld. John hates Seinfeld.
John hates Seinfeld?
John hates Seinfeld.
It's one of
Seinfeld.
The greatest shows ever.
Well, you just lost points, too. Now we're both in the running again. But there was an episode of Seinfeld when Newman was a postal worker, and he was not delivering the mail. He was just hoarding it in his house because he was getting paid to do nothing. Well, a U.S. Postal Service worker has been arrested and charged with disposing of more than 1,000 pieces of election mail, including ballots and political campaign mailers. A guy named Otis McCoy. Otis. I mean, I think this is Otis the Town Drunk. Otis McCoy in Orlando, Florida, was charged with discarding more than 1,000 pieces of mail instead of delivering them. He's now charged with stealing, taking, abstracting mail, and faces a fine of $250,000 and 5 years in prison. Wow. Anyway, he was caught on surveillance footage throwing large quantities of mail into a wooded lot. Just like, what the heck, man? Just didn't feel like delivering it, I guess. And the van's tracking device showed that it was McCoy, so they got him. Discarded mail was dumped in a wooded area near Orlando, and within there were 1,000 pieces of election-type mail. Now, some of that is going to be like mailers, advertisements, things that candidates actually pay for. That means something. I can't tell you how much that stuff costs. Good Lord. Even for a state Senate race like I ran. I personally had one of the most expensive Senate races because the teachers union hated me. But I had four counties, and I spent $770,000 in a four-county state Senate race. Good Lord. But I can't imagine what it takes in a presidential race, $1 billion. And when you're buying things like this and some guys is throwing them away, it means something. One-off, well, you've also got ballots in there, though. Actual ballots being thrown away. And then you got this weird situation out in Washington and I think Oregon. I pulled this one off the AP. Have you heard this? Drop boxes being set on fire. Ballot drop boxes being set on fire. Now, personally, I am not a fan of the ballot drop box. That is not what I would call election security. That's just absolutely asinine. That's like, why don't you just go ahead, I don't know, fill it with money and leave it on the street. That's what all you're doing is tempting these miscreants who are just determined to do something to jack up the vote. But right now, it's not that like something weird happened. Somebody's intentionally doing this. It says incendiary devices. This is the AP saying this. Incendiary devices were set off on Monday on two ballot boxes, one in Portland, another one in nearby Vancouver, Washington, destroying hundreds of ballots in what one official called a direct attack on democracy. Okay. Is it a one-off? Well, a two-off, really. But is it a broad-scale thing? No. But you got the lady who was arrested for forging a vote in Alabama. You got somebody actually dropping incendiary devices and burning up ballots in a ballot collection box. You got a postal worker who's throwing stuff away. I'm just going to tell you, the fact that we know and we're catching them means, first of all, the system is working in that regard. we're catching them. But the fact of the matter is, everybody's on pins and needles. A U.S. Postal Service worker ditching a bag of mail out into the woods might not have been a national story, except that it involved election issues. A ballot box getting, you know, catching on fire, if this was simply a city council race in a small town in Vancouver, Washington, probably wouldn't have gotten much attention. But because we're in the cycle that we're in and everybody remembers 2020, everything is a story, even the one-offs. I've got some craziness here, too. Where's the one from Florida? Okay, oh, we had a brand new thing happen in Pennsylvania. So Pennsylvania, oh, God. See, I don't know how to explain this. Pennsylvania is investigating right now. Now, it turns out it's not ballots. My first thought was we had Lancaster and York counties, which are big counties in Pennsylvania. My first thought was we had actual fake ballots being mailed in. But it appears what we have is a large number of fake registrations and requests for ballots being mailed, and they got caught. They got caught because some dingleberry somewhere did this and did a really bad job, but nonetheless, they tried. We're talking in Lancaster County, 2,500 false voter registration applications in two separate batches arrived. They could tell. The staff at the, you know, the Secretary of State or the District Attorney's Office says the staff noticed that numerous applications appeared to have the same handwriting, appeared to have been filled on the same day, and these were indicators, if you will, and they investigated, and sure enough, they were using fake information, they were using fake names, fake Social Security numbers, and they were also using applications that sometimes had real information but did not match when they called the person to verify. Did you submit a, lady, I'm sorry, ma'am, did you submit a voter registration? No. Okay, thank you. 2,500 of them. In York County, something similar. Right now, law enforcement is looking into it. They are investigating. I don't know for a fact that we're going to find that they caught these after some had already gotten through. That's not been said. What I do know is someone's trying on a large-scale basis to do 2,500 fake registrations and requests for mail-in ballots. That's why, and I'm just going to go out there, right? I'm just going to say it before I go to the break. I think it's time to go back to a paper ballot, an election day, make it a national holiday, and you come in and you show your photo ID and you get your stubby pencil and you fill out the little blocks and you turn it in and you go to the house with a sticker on your shirt saying, I voted. And that's it. And the whole nation does it in one day, and it's a national holiday so you can be off of work. Just go do it. Get it done. One day. It's not hard. If we can have people in Afghanistan and in Iraq voting under threat of death and standing in line to get a ink on their finger to prove they voted, then surely we can do it in the United States of America, where we can put a man on the moon. All this stuff about Dominion voting systems and everything else, you know what doesn't have a link to the internet? A friggin' paper ballot. That's what. You know what doesn't require someone to wonder what happened with the ballot harvesting box catching fire when people were voting 2 weeks in advance? A voting day, that's what. I am all for the idea of getting back to a voting day and having people come and vote in person. Make it a federal holiday so everybody can get off work and call it done and get our results in so we can see who the president is. All right. We're taking a break right now. We will take this break. We will come right back. I got more. It's Election Integrity, and text messages are flowing in, 833-687-4448. Text it or call it. Same number for both. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades in here. That's what we're doing. I got a bunch of text messages. I'm going to catch up with all y'all here in just a little bit. I'm going to wrap up my resources on this this Dipper, Election Integrity. And listen, this may wind up being I don't think it's going to be a single Dipper day. It may be a double Dipper day at this point, because Grand Council's coming up at 4. Don't forget that. Okay, so a couple more things. We have a situation in Alabama, and I don't know for a fact this is happening in other states. I would think it would be, although I look at it and go, why? What are you doing? Do you have nothing else to do? What I'm saying is the Department of Justice, that's the Biden-Harris Department of Justice, has decided to appoint district election officers to monitor Alabama elections. What are they going to do? Are they going to snoop around, flash their badge? Excuse me, I'm with the election police. I'd like to see your paperwork. I don't know what they're going to do. But Caroline Dobson, who's been on the show multiple times, who's the Republican running for Congress in Alabama District 2, she said on Monday, 1819 News has the piece, that President Joe Biden's Department of Justice announcement was like, you know, basically like having the referees wearing the other team's jersey. Like we really trust them to come in from the DOJ, and here they are suing Alabama, won't let us purge our voter rolls, and they want us to believe that they're going to come down here and just go, hey, fellas, we're here to help. All good. Dobson said, we're already playing on a field that federal judges drew to favor the other team, and now Biden's assigning attorneys from the DOJ to oversee the balloting. It's like the referees wearing the other team's jersey. He said, for all we know, these so-called monitors were handpicked by Shamari Figures, that's the guy, the Democrat she's running against, who worked directly alongside the Biden Attorney General Merrick Garland in the Justice Department. Yeah, more to come on that one. But right now, apparently, Alabama just simply can't be trusted, and so we got to have Biden Harris appointed DOJ monitors in Alabama. No indication what, you know, their role is or what they're going to do when they're here. But nonetheless, they're going to be here. So there's that. And then I got a couple of rulings that came out that have really been interesting. And they're interesting in because they're not the same. We have a bit of a patchwork quilt. So you may all recall that the federal district courts are in different circuits. Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, we're in what's called the 11th Circuit. You got the 5th Circuit that includes, you know, Texas, among others. And you've got, you know, there's circuits everywhere. The 9th Circuit is California. We always laugh when the rulings come out. We're like, I don't know what's going on in California. I mean, I should never cite a 9th Circuit decision to an Alabama judge because I'll be laughed out of the courtroom. But that being said, the disparity in our districts sometimes creates a need for the Supreme Court to step in because they can't allow this level of incongruity among rulings. Well, we got one this week. So Nevada, according to Reuters 2 days ago, Nevada Supreme Court, this is state now, ruled that mail-in ballots received after Election Day will be counted. Well, glory. So as a matter of state law, Nevada Supreme Court is allowing for ballots to get mailed in, and as long as they are postmarked, that's what counts, not when they're received. Okay, so in other words, there's a bunch of them out there. Here's what's going to happen. If Nevada's close and they've got a bunch of outstanding mail-in ballots, then the challenge is going to be not to certify the vote until they're all received, which means if the mail's delayed, then we'll be waiting and watching and wondering. And this, see, there's got to be a cutoff point to the madness. But Nevada is going to let them count. However, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 5th Circuit handed down a shock decision. This comes from Slate Magazine. Phil, did you go to Slate? I did. Because I'll go anywhere to get resources for this wonderful audience. 5th Circuit ruled on Friday afternoon, last Friday, that states may not count ballots that are mailed by Election Day but received afterwards. So now Nevada says you can, but the 5th Circuit, which includes, I'm trying to think which states are in the 5th, but I believe it's Texas, Mississippi, Arkansas, maybe Louisiana. I got to look and see. I'm probably quoting that. Probably somebody's going to text me and go, you're all screwed up. Anyway, the bottom line is this. Mail-in ballots are a problem. They just are. And I get the fact that the state law has already established they can do it. But then you look at it and go, okay, look, if you haven't got them by the day, why should we have to just put up with that? But that's what's happening right now. In the Fifth Circuit, they have to be received by the day. But in Nevada, they just have to be postmarked before the day. Like, my gosh. So what, it's 5 o'clock on Election Day? And you remembered you haven't mailed your ballot yet, and so you go get it postmarked real quick. It's just nuts. Anyway, at some point, and I really do believe the states need to control their elections, but I believe some of the standardization is going to have to become a little more, you know, deliberative on a national basis. And oh, by the way, paper ballots, federal holiday, voter ID. I don't think it's that hard. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.